Welcome to another inspirational message from Dave and Jenny Gilpin. Dave and Jenny are the senior pastors of Hope City Church. For any more information or for any other resources, visit davegilpin.com.
Awesome. Give someone a high five. You can take your seats. Oh, so good. Gosh, I'm loving today. And hello to all the guests of Ali and Karen that are here as well. Gosh, amazing. Jen's over in Frankfurt and she says she's missing not me, but Macy. And Macy Gray had a couple of hits 15 years ago. We've named the cat, little kitten, 3 months old kitten, after Macy Gray. And Macy Gray is mad. Very affectionate to Jen, but she treats my hand as 5 white mice. Very close. So I've got scratch marks all up my arm. And sometimes sweet, but mostly mad and crazy. And Jen can't wait for the day that, and she says it's coming soon, that she can open the door. And, you know, she said around March, you know, open the door, the sun's out, and she can let the cat out, let the kitten out to explore a little bit. Don't tell her. But yesterday I thought, looks quite interesting. Let's give her a go. And so she went for a snoop, and I found it quite fascinating, this little kitten who thought that all there was to the world was the inside of a house, has begun to realize that there is something far bigger outside of the house than everything she's found in the house. She's had a good time in the house, but I can see her even last night before the sun went down, I could see her peering out of the window thinking, I want more of that stuff. Don't tell Jen when she frolics around outside as if she's been there before, and I'll pretend that. It's the same with your life, that the outside world is far bigger than the inside world. And the barriers that are up in your life, what I'm believing, are just temporary barriers. They seem like permanent barriers, but they're temporary barriers. And I've made this statistic up, but it's pretty good, that 75% of everything impossible in your life is not actually impossible. It's because you think it's impossible. It's because you have no other paradigm but to think, it either hasn't happened before, this is where I live, this is the walls that are permanently in place. But there are two doors, one at the very back and one at the very front, that can lead you to a bigger world. 75% of every stop sign in your life is actually a go sign. 75% of every no is actually a yes. A lot of life comes down to the way you think about it, the way you perceive it. When we bought this Sheffield mega centre, which is a 3-storey industrial building that was previously owned by Spears and Jackson, or Spear and Jackson, which used to make garden tools. A couple of people who were quite influential in my life just stood opposite this road, and they didn't say it verbally, but they said it with their body language, that this is too big for you. This is too big for the church. This is too big for where we're at, and we shouldn't do it, and they were just saying with their body language, we couldn't do it. And, you know, I kind of had to back away from these people that were very close to my life in order to create a hothouse environment, in order to create an incubator, in order to create an incubator of faith, to live in a world that wasn't polluted by negativity and doubt. I'm friends with them now, but I had to pull out just for a little bit of time, just so that I could think clearly, think positively, and think with the thinking of faith, in order that 15 years later, here we are in the mega center, enjoying every part of this place and filling this place out. This is the second service today. And this would never have happened if we thought that this place was impossible. And there's a future awaiting for you that will never happen if you continue down the road of thinking that it's impossible. It just will not happen. At some stage, you've got to change your thinking from impossible to possible. 75% of everything that you say is impossible is actually possible. So we moved in to the mega center and we started on the middle floor. We redid the middle floor, and then we redid the top floor, and then we came down to the ground floor. And you know, overall, it was impossible for us to renovate this entire building. But it wasn't impossible because we divided into three. The first section was the middle. The second section was the top. The third section was the ground. This would have been the logical place to start, but this was the last place that we started. And sometimes in life, you've got to find creative solutions to negative situations. And sometimes in life, you've got to start in the middle. To start in the middle, go to the top, and then go back to the beginning. It's just that you think the beginning's impossible. Start in the middle. Sometimes you think, I can't do it. We couldn't do the whole, but we could do it in sections. That the whole was seemingly impossible, but each section was possible. And it's the same with your life. Divide it into slices, and you'll find that everything that's impossible in your life, 75% of it is actually possible in your life. But you've got to have the courage and the creativity to divide it up into sections and not necessarily start at the beginning. Sometimes you can start in the middle and then move further away from the middle and then come back to the ground and see your seemingly impossible situations become possible situations. Most normal solutions start at the ground level. Our creative solution began on the middle level. We've been preaching a series on the prayer of Jabez, and Jabez is listed in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Out of 9 chapters, there's about 600 people mentioned who are just people from Adam all the way through to almost to when Saul was born. And Jabez is written about just a couple of lines in it. And it's his prayer. He was born in pain because his mother gave birth to him in pain, so his name means pain. And at some stage, something happened within him, that something happened within his thinking. Because the Bible says that he cried out to God, God, free me from pain. And God answered his request and said yes to it. But there must have been somewhere along the line that he had a eureka moment, a revelation moment, and he moved from negative thinking to possibility thinking. It must have been pretty soon after he moved from the shadows of unbelief to the light of belief that something happened in his heart, then something happened in his mind, and he came out from impossibility into a realm of this thing's possible. And you know, when Jabez reflected back into human history, he saw Abraham blessed, and so he prayed, God bless me. If God can do it to Abraham, God can do it to Jabez. He saw Jacob enlarged. He prayed, God, enlarge me. And he saw Joseph strengthened, and he prayed, Lord, strengthen me. And he saw Joseph blessed in prison and blessed in the palace, and he realized the hand of God was upon him in every stage of his venture. So he said, Lord, let your hand be upon me. If you've killed the lion and the bear, then surely you can slay this Goliath. If you can do it for Abraham, if you can do it for Isaac, if you can do it for Jacob, if you can do it for Joseph, if you can do it for Moses, then you can do it for me. Free me from pain, the same as he did for Joseph, from the pain of rejection into the blessing of acceptance. 75% of everything you think is impossible is not impossible. What we need to do in Hope City Church is develop an atmosphere of creative thinking. We need to break out of the box. We need to create an attitude of positivity. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says that three things, however, remain. And those three things, after everything's taken away, there's three things that remain. Faith, hope, and love. This is what hope is. It's an expectation that summons the creative. It follows faith wherever it travels. It's an expectation something good is about to happen. That's what hope is. And it follows believers everywhere. When you move from the shadow of the mountain of doubt into the sunshine of faith, it follows you. Positive thinking, creative thinking follows you everywhere. Dead-end thinking is a sign that you either haven't got faith or you're not activating your faith or there's a roadblock between you and obedience to God. But the natural Christian state is one of optimism. The natural Christian state is to not bang on about impossibility so much, but to begin to focus on what's possible. I watched a show called Music Mongols of the pop The Masters of Pop is a documentary on the Svengalis of pop music, the managers that made it happen, for all the way from Adele's manager to the Stones manager. And the manager of Wham came up, and he said that even though Wham was huge in the UK and had broken into America, they felt insecure about the American market. And so they decided to make a play for China to try and get Wham playing in China. And they were competing against Queen. They were fighting against Queen, not the Queen, but against Queen to get into China. And finally, Wham broke through. And they did a concert at the Workers' Gymnasium in Beijing to 15,000 people. And all of a sudden, the world's media was upon them, being the first Western pop group to ever play in China. That the media storm just was so big that it caused Wham to take over the world and establish themselves in America. Sometimes you've got to go to China to go to America. It's the opposite direction. There's an America in you, and some of you think, what am I doing heading to China? China is the doorway to your America. Some of you are in China thinking, this is the most irrelevant, the most boring situation I found myself in, and yet it's your China. Sometimes life isn't zigzag, it's zag-zig. Sometimes it's the opposite of how you feel. Sometimes you start in the middle. Sometimes God will take you to China in order to break through to America. Sometimes it's zig and zag, but sometimes it's zag and zig. It's never, I was just about to quote the Spice Girls, but I thought I'm just going to move on. It's not zig and zig. Sometimes it's zig, sometimes it's zag. Sometimes it's zag, sometimes you got to go east in order to head west. Gives God the glory. So if you're in China, put a smile on your face, you're on your way to America. If everything seems to be going backwards, but you've got faith in God, it's actually going forwards. It's just that you need to stop going upon your natural understanding and start moving into a creative way of thinking that God has in order to move into the America of your future. Everyone's waiting outside the door of the 25%. Well, there's others of us who are going through the door of the 75%. Now, it's folklore in business history now, recent business history, but Richard Branson, who runs Virgin Atlantic, at one stage never ran Virgin Atlantic. But what he did do is he was caught in Puerto Rico in South America, and he wanted to get a plane that would take him to the British Virgin Islands where he lived. And the company that he'd bought his ticket off decided to retract the plane that him and others were on because there wasn't enough sales. And so the plane trip would have cost more to them than it was worth. So they canceled. So everyone was stranded in Puerto Rico. And so Richard Branson thought, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to charter a plane myself. And so he negotiated a price. He grabbed a chalkboard and wrote $39 for a ticket to the British Virgin Islands, filled up his charter plane, and that's the birth of Virgin Atlantic. Sometimes in our lives, a cancellation can actually be a good thing. That when somebody cancels on you, when something cancels on you, you can see it as a negative situation, or you can realize that this can actually be met on with a creative solution. It wasn't long after that he rang up Boeing and said, have you got a jumbo jet that I could buy so that I could really establish Virgin Atlantic? Everyone's waiting for a Virgin Atlantic that is kind of impossible, but to run a charter flight from Puerto Rico through to your Virgin Islands is not impossible. It's totally possible. And that's the door that opened the door to. Stop waiting for that door when there's a door here. This door leads to that door. This leads to that. Zag leads to zig. That you need to enter into a world of creative solutions in order to maximize your life. And my favorite story in the Old Testament is from 2 Kings chapter 3. We'll put the scripture up on the board in a second. But it's when King Jehoshaphat learned that the king of Moab bad king, had broken covenant with Israel. So the king of Moab thought, I've got to go to war for justice sake. And then the king of Israel thought, well, I'm coming with you. And the king of Edom said, well, let's make it three of us with all of our armies. We'll surely beat Moab, this annoying enemy. And they decided to take the tricky route through a desert. But they realized it wasn't that tricky because after 7 days of walking through the desert for a surprise attack upon Moab, that they realized there was a river that never ran dry. And so they were looking forward to it because they'd exhausted all of their supplies of water. And they finally got to, on the seventh day, the river that never ran dry. And guess what? The river that never ran dry had run dry. And so they wonder, what would they do? And the king of Israel said, well, surely we're going to die, filled with negative thinking. King Jehoshaphat said, well, let's just find out what God says. Is there a prophet amongst us? And they discovered that Elisha was actually there with them, a prophet of the Lord, to speak a word of wisdom into their situation. I'll say to every one of you in this room, whatever your history, whatever your belief system, whoever you are, God is no more than one arm's length away from you and has never been any further in the entire history of your life. That God has never, ever rejected you. God has never, ever decided to be a million miles. It's impossible to be a million miles from God. Even if you're the most extremely sinful person that the world has ever seen, it's impossible to be outside of the grace and the mercy and the kindness of God. His love reaches the heavens. His faithfulness reaches to the skies. You cannot be outside of the orbit of the grace of God. You can resist the hand of God, but the hand of God is still close to you. And so the prophet arose, and this is what the prophet said in 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 15 to 18. He said, bring me a harpist, which is quite amusing because somebody has brought a harp into the middle of the fighting ground in the middle of the desert. While the harpist was playing, which again looks quite weird, put on some James Bay while I prophesy, the hand of God came upon Elisha, and he said, this is what the Lord says. I'll fill this valley full of pools of water. For this is what the Lord says. You'll neither see wind nor rain, yet this valley will be filled with water. You and your cattle and others, other animals will drink. This is an easy thing in the eyes of the Lord. He'll deliver Moab into your hands. Firstly, can I just say, right, that your future is a very easy thing. Your freedom from pain is a very easy thing. The opening of doors is a very easy thing. It's a very easy thing for God in your life. The reason why we pray is because God's already promised. And the reason why He's promised is because He doesn't start with a promise, He starts with an outcome. You can't create your future. The Alfa Romeo of your future is already in the garage of your future. You can't create it. We're not creators. Only God is the creator God. He's already established your destiny. He's already established the Alpha Omega of your future. It's in the garage. And because God knows that, He comes back into history and gives you a promise. It's in the garage. And the promise then turns you around to then pray a prayer like the prayer of Jabez. Bless me, enlarge me, strengthen me, because it's based upon a promise that's underneath you. And all prayer does, let's not make a God out of prayer. All prayer does is open up the garage door to something that's already given to you. That's what prayer does. It's not the power of prayer. If I had an electronic garage door and I pressed the button, I wouldn't say, wow, this button, I'm going to put it in a frame. It's so good. It's just a button. Prayer is just a button. It opens the door up to something that has already been created. That's prayer. Sometimes you cry out, sometimes you scream out, sometimes you're sick, sometimes you ask. But it's just a button that opens the door to your future. All this is very easy. I'll pause there and just say, stop saying stuff is impossible. Stop it. You do yourself a disservice. There's a creative solution to 75% of your impossibility. Stop banging on about what you haven't got, because God can turn what you haven't got into what you have got overnight, within one word of faith, God can turn a negative situation into a launch pad situation. And that's what happened in this story. In the King James Version, it says that God said, make this valley full of ditches. So they turned their swords into spades and dug in the midst of their thirst. They thought, this is crazy. What are we doing? And sometimes prayer and sometimes promises and sometimes services like this, you think, this is absolutely crazy. It's digging ditches in the midst of a desert. God's not real. God's not true. Why would you want to waste your life like you guys are doing in applying faith to a God who doesn't exist? And this is what happened. The moment they started to dig, it started to rain 20 miles away. It's amazing what faith can do when you have faith, the proof of faith. It's amazing what can happen to your life. That it begins to rain. You will see no rain. You'll hear no wind. But it began to rain in the mountains of Edom. That's what's happening to Hope City Church right now. It's beginning to rain right now. You can't see it. You can't feel it. But incredible things are on their way to you right now. Why? Because you've dug ditches. Because you found a creative solution. Because instead of panicking, instead of being filled with negativity, you decided to break it up into sections. And even though you can't do a miracle, you can still dig ditches in the midst of your valley. And by the time they woke up in the morning, this is what happened, right? Which is just an incredible story. The water came down and filled the ditches. And so they were able to have some, have drink. They were able to be refreshed when the morning came. But the other thing is that when the sun reflected off it, that the water from the rain had mixed with the redness of the dirt. And so these pools of water looked like pools of blood. So when the Moabites caught wind that this is where the three armies were, they looked out through their binoculars and they're thinking they must have slaughtered each other because there's pools of blood all over the place. And so instead of putting their armor on, they took their armor off, make it easier to travel through the desert to see exactly the extent of the disaster. And so the nation of Israel and Judah stood up and realized the enemy is now unprotected. They won a great victory that day. It's quite weird. That kind of example isn't repeated in the Bible, but it's the same with the weirdness of what you're about to do. It's not repeated again after you do it, but it's like a creative solution that turns around a creative result that none of us could ever have thought up. That your China, your middle floor, it's created something that God's saying, hey, I can use this. His ways are not your ways. His thinking is higher than your thinking. Stop thinking according to the patterns of your history and according to the patterns of what hasn't worked before and realize that God can do anything, anytime, but he wants you to deal with the possible and then the miraculous, which is what you call the impossible, God can take care of because that's an easy thing in the hand of the Lord. Kind of quiet, but I don't mind because I'm coming at you like a freight train. Isaiah 55 verse 9 says, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so my ways are a little bit higher than your ways, Mr. Negative. And my thoughts are a little bit higher than your thoughts, Miss Pessimist. Creative thinking leads you into God's way of thinking. People said to us that you can't run a multi-site church beyond neighborhoods. And then people did it across cities and one church across various cities. But then they said, and I heard them say it, that you can't run a church, a multi-site church internationally. Well, could someone phone up Joel and Em in Kuala Lumpur who are having incredible success there now to say it can't be done? Could somebody tell them because they're actually doing something that's stupid? And they should come home right away because this thing can't be done. There's people that have said to you, it can't be done when it can actually be done. You've listened to too many people. You need to put an ear to God, an ear to heaven, and listen to what the Lord says, and listen to what the prophet says, and listen to what the hand of God says, and get the word of God out, and stop listening so much to people. You can't please people anyway. Some people are angry at you because you haven't got much. They persecute. When you do have a lot, they're angry at you because they're jealous at you. It's silly trying to please the voice of the multitude. You need to step out in a confidence in God and realize that some things that they say can't be done in your world can easily be done in your world. Two men looked out from prison bars. One saw mud. The other saw stars. The stars in the night sky. God wants to take you out of the prison bars and make you a star in the universe with the stars that you see. Your future is bigger than your past. God builds His strength on your weakness. He builds skyscrapers of power on the fault lines of your weaknesses and sins. March this year, and this will blow some people out for sure, right? Because it's crazy figures. But in March this year, we've got a dream offering, right? And a dream offering is in order to raise money, kind of like a deposit, but the land, we want to move church to build a 1,500-seater, which I think is good news because that's the dreams of God for sure, for every church really, to be a large church that's influencing people. And so we found a block of land between here and the M1, and it's called the Waverley Estate. And so we've got good communication and et cetera, et cetera. But you know what? Currently we've raised £250,000, but we need to raise like another £750,000. People say it's impossible because that's an awful lot of moolah. It's an awful lot of money, right? And people have said, oh, you're crazy doing that. You only say it's crazy because you live in the limitation of my cat. That's why you think it's crazy, because you think that your house is the only thing to the world around about you. That's why you say it's crazy. And also, you haven't actually read the Bible. So you need to start reading it. And you know, Jen and I were thinking, and Jen's my wife, we're thinking, what can we do? And we came up with non-creative solutions. And the amount was small. I was quite embarrassed by it, thinking, oh, that's just small. And it's not even going to, we've got this massive mountain that he's moving. It's like bringing a little sand spade, you know, from the beach. And then all of a sudden it struck us, creative solution, and we realized we actually bought a second house 9 years ago. We bought it with Colin and Dawn Davies, who are here in this congregation, and we bought it thinking property market's going to boom. We bought it in order to create some wealth for the property of Hope City Church. And then we had the great boom and then the great bust that they said was never going to happen. So the value of it shot downwards. Dawn and Colin came out from it, not because it was now a negative equity. And then a girl who was with us from Australia joined in with Jenny and I. And then she left to go to Melbourne, having made no money on it. But you know, the recession has just lifted from Sheffield. It lifted. It never really hit London. Property prices stopped growing for 2 months. And they're now double the prices they were back in the recession. When you know, we just kind of caught up to it. But I realized in looking at Rymoves that it's worth £10,000 more than we got it for. So I realized, well, I need to treat that as a piggy bank. And so I had the idea, why don't we sell it? Why don't we toss it like a piggy bank upside down and get all the money out and give it to the dream offering? So that's what we're doing. I'm slightly embarrassed in that £10,000 is nothing like we thought we'd be making, because when boom times were on, we thought this is kind of rocket, you know, we'd be able to give hundreds of thousands of pounds. But it hasn't been so. But £10,000 is not to be sneezed at. But I realized in my calculations, let me think, £750,000 divided by £10,000, let me think, it only requires 74 other couples. Bang! Done it. We've done what everyone else says is impossible to do through 75 couples. And you've got to have some asset to be able to do that. You've got to have some entrepreneurial skill. You've got to have a business. You've got to have created a business. You've got to have a nest egg. You've got to have some kind of inheritance. You've got to have some kind of multiplication system. You've got to have something that's beginning. You've got to have something. But there's surely 75 couples who are a part of Hope City Church that have that something. But I know it's not going to work like that, because some of you have far more. So I realize it's not an equal distribution of sacrifice that you know, but what I do realize, it's possible. And instantly, I've done an equation to you that makes it possible. And all I'm doing is saying, multiply me and Jen by 75, bang. The miracle I need isn't that. The miracle I need is a change of heart. I need a change of heart. I need you to come out of the darkness of unbelief and come into the light of faith. I need you to come out from the shadow of the mountain of doubt. I need you to pull away and build, ask for a harpist, get an atmosphere of faith happening. That's what I need you to do, to come out from the negativity of the world, from the fear of this world, from the fear of missing out, from the fear of worldliness, from the fear of not having when everybody else has. I need you to come out from that and build your own incubator, get a harpist, and create your own atmosphere. Of faith, that's what I need, because if I can change you from unbelief to belief, I can change you from non-creative to creative. When you change from unbelief to belief, from non-creative to creative, it's like letting the cat out. The outside world to her will always be bigger than the inside world she's currently experienced. I've got to finish in a few minutes. The key to Joseph's success wasn't a leap of faith. It was a series of steps of faith. What you think ahead of you is a giant leap of faith. I've never, ever experienced a leap of faith in my entire 30 years of being a believer. And when I looked through the Bible, I realized that no one has ever experienced a leap of faith, only steps of faith. So this idea that, oh, Dave, you don't know my situation, there's a huge canyon between me and the answer, I'm thinking, it's just not true. There's a step. There's a middle floor. There's a China, but there's not a nothing. There's never a nothing. So for Joseph, the first step after being persecuted and sent as a slave to Egypt was faithful in part of his household till he got kicked out. Second step, faithful to the jailer. Third step, faithful to the butler and the baker, interpreting their dreams. Fourth step, faithful to Pharaoh with his dream. Fifth, there's no fifth step. He's now second highest in the land, prophecy fulfilled, sun, moon, 11 stars bowing down to him. It doesn't go on and on. It's not on and on and on and on and on and on. So hard. No, just work it. Work it. Four steps, we're out of here. Just work it. King David, faithful over the sheep, step one. Step two, faithful playing the harp. Step three, faithful over Goliath. Step four, faithful with disenchanted people. Step five, faithful with Hebron. Step six, there is no step six. He's now king over Israel, prophecy fulfilled. Your future is not filled with endless disasters of impossibility. Your future is filled with possibility. You just need to break it down. Break it down into creative modules. You can do that. It's not impossible. It requires the miraculous provision of God, but as we've just read out, that's an easy thing. I'm going to have to finish. Time's up. You're probably thinking about the other 25%. The other 25% is just not in the will of God.
Duh.
It's just stuff that's impossible that you were never meant to have. That's all. So some of you parked up in a cul-de-sac of wanting stuff. And the reason why you want it is because you overlove it. The reason why you parked up in a cul-de-sac is because we have a tendency as humans to overlove things that we're meant just to like. So you parked up in a cul-de-sac of over-loving. God says, oh, it's going to be bad for you. We find it hard to moderate. But the answer in a cul-de-sac isn't to give up, it's to give over. And to grab your Isaac and present him to God, saying, God, I present my dreams as a sacrifice to you. Let it go. Just let it go. And if you let it go, wipe the sweat from your brow, wipe the anxiety from your soul, wipe the frustration from your spirit. If you let it go, bang, you're back onto the M1. Within a jiffy, you're back on. You move from cul-de-sac, and I can't tell you the story, but with Isaac, bang, ram's in the thicket. Bang, I'm Jehovah Jireh. Bang, the promises, let's go. The moment you surrender all to Jesus, surrender your sweat. How do you know it's not the will of God? Well, it's because you're a mess. Because you're scratchy, itchy, horrible. Because your passions aren't with God. Your passions are elsewhere. You're trying to keep up with the Joneses. That's a dead end. You're trying to impress someone. That's a dead end. You're trying to rekindle something that's gone. That's a dead end. So with dead ends, we don't give in. We give up and over. And then bang, back onto a through road. And you're back into the 75%. Your God is invincible. He's undeniable. He's incomparable. He's uncorruptible. Your God is unbeatable. He's unfathomable. He's unforgettable. He's untamable. He's unconquerable. He's uncompromising. He's indomitable. He's intentional. He's immeasurable. He's unimaginable. He's immovable. And he's incredible. Thanks to Roger's thesaurus, I was able to get all those words out. This is your God. This is your God. Promised to you, there's plans for you for good. So it moves into prayer. You want to seek, you want to knock, you want to ask, you want to soak, you want to cry out, you want to call out. You can do that. You can dig ditches in the midst of your valley. You can roar, you can rest, you can restore, you can revive, reinvent, renew, reposition, replace, reapply, re-enter, refresh, redeem, rededicate, recline, reassess, recover, repair, and reinvigorate your life for the amazing front door and back door of a kitty cat called you. Father, right now, let him see stars and not mud. That those that are obsessed by mud, let them see stars. And let them know that you have a solution for every problem. Let them know that you're a God who's able to take them out from seeming impossibility into a realm of possibility. I pray, Lord, that you take out this negativity. And I pray those that are cynical would think, I'm just going to zip my mouth up. I've got very few friends because I'm just too bitter. I just pray that you change bitterness into betterness. I pray, Lord God, that you just change our mentality. And I pray those that are caught beside people and beside places that overshadow them with doubt, I pray that they bring out the harpist and say, harpist, start to play. I pray, God, those who have come today would come next week and think this is their harp, this is their incubator of faith. This is the place that recalibrates them for an awesome future. I pray, Lord God, that you'd build Hope City Church. I pray, God, for the million-pound challenge, God, that it would just be done even just through this one service, God, as we create an incubator that our society absolutely needs, a harp, God, in order to hear the word of the Lord, in order to dig ditches, in order to see the enemy depart. And Father, today, God, let true wisdom from heaven smash into pieces worldly thinking, worldly wisdom. And Father, let the spirit of creativity come upon everything we do, God. Everything we do, God. Help us not to be arrogant if we're creative and everyone else isn't. Help us, God, to walk with a measure of grace upon our lives, oh God. But I pray that you turn Hope City Church upside down now. For this brand new year, God, that requires creative thinking, creative decisions, it requires boldness, it requires a new way of doing things, Lord God. And Father, I pray, Jesus, that you would encourage our hearts and build our lives in your precious and mighty name. With every eye closed, I suspect there's a whole lot of people that want to hold hands with God. And I suspect that there's a lot of people who you've realized throughout the service that there's a lot of ordinary people that are sitting down here. In actual fact, there's nobody who's extraordinary. You're ordinary people used by an extraordinary God. There's no great men or women of faith here. There's just women of a great God. Men of a great God. And you can join in as well. You just need to lift out your hand and say, God, I'm going to hold your hand. I'm looking for forgiveness, and He's here to grant that. There'll be a transfer between His hand and your hand of power, goodness, forgiveness. And it'll be the beginning of your horizon changing. We're opening the front door of the house right now. If that's you, I want you to pray this prayer with me, and everybody can help us out. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for your hand that's stretched out to me right now. And I take my hand out of my pocket, out of the pocket of grief, out of the pocket of sinfulness, and I put my hand in your hand, into the hand of grace, into the hand of righteousness. Forgive me of all of my sins and cover me with your grace. Jesus, I commit myself to you. In Jesus' name. See that, just every eye closed. If you prayed that prayer, I'm going to get you to draw a line in the sand just to do one thing. I'm going to get you, when I count to three, lift up your right hand, leave it up till all the hands are up. This is with every eye closed. But sometimes you need to draw a line in the sand between your history and your future and say, that house isn't everything. I've got the great outdoors. If you prayed that prayer sincerely from your heart, remember, who cares what the person sitting next to you actually thinks? Their thoughts are transient. It's what you do with God that's eternal. If you sincerely prayed that prayer, whether you're a backslider returning, or whether you're somebody who didn't have a, or whether you've never come this way before, if you've just decided, if you prayed that prayer with me on the count of three, with every eye closed, I want you to lift up your right hand, leave it up till all the hands are up. Three, two, one, put your hand up, put your hand up, put your hand up. Come on, put your hand up. Hands are going up all around about the place. Keep it up so I can see it, so I can see it, so I can see it. Just all about the place. And my far right hand corner is a couple of hands, which is brilliant. At the very back, there's another hand, which I'm loving. Just, there's a fourth hand, there's a fifth hand in my right hand middle section, which is awesome. In the middle section, there's a sixth hand, there's a seventh hand, there's an eighth hand, there's a ninth hand, which I find brilliant. On my left hand side middle section, there's a tenth hand. Down the very back, there's an eleventh hand. In my left hand section, there's a twelfth hand halfway. And right at the back, there's a 13th hand. I'm just looking around to see whether I've missed, Father God. Father, we thank you for these 13 or 15 people who have decided to follow Jesus Christ. I pray that you'd protect them now. I pray, God, that you'd protect them from any wild storms and you'd put your arms around about them. I pray that they'd know that you understand, that you've got them in your arms, that you get them, you get their history and where they've come from, and you've got an incredible future for them. I pray they'd find a harpist and find an atmosphere of faith in which to develop their faith. And I pray, Lord God, that your perfect peace would right now cast out all fear, all anxiety. And I pray that they'd sense the very presence of God in Jesus. You can put your hands down in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said,